As private businessmen and government operatives, Shackley, Clines, and Secord, along with Wilson and middleman Albert Hakim, turned their attention to the Mideast. They supplied arms to Mideast governments while skimming off huge profits into hidden bank accounts around the world. They secretly supplied weapons and military intelligence to Nicaraguan dictator Anastasio Somoza and helped the Shah of Iran eliminate his enemies.
There is an early bond between Iran and Nicaragua. The bond is this secret team of men. So throughout that period from October of 1977 to December of 1978, this secret team has two major operations, one to support the Shah, the other to support the right-wing dictator Anastasio Somoza in Nicaragua. This was their world at that time. The Shah collapses in December of 78, and Anastasio Somoza collapses in July of 1979.
After the overthrow of Somoza, many of his former National Guardsmen fled to Honduras, where they were organized and trained by the CIA as a counter-revolutionary force to fight against the new government in Nicaragua.
They began to create the Contras, to try to do the identical thing that was done by the supporters of Batista against the Cuban revolutionary government back in 1959. Not an indigenous force inside Nicaragua that had any support from any of the population in Nicaragua. It was a total artifice that was created by these men.
These are young men and women who gave up everything they had, and they fled a totalitarian communist regime. And they fled to another country because they could no longer live within the one that they'd been born in. And they took up arms. I didn't create the Nicaraguan Contra or the Nicaraguan Freedom Fighter, and the CIA didn't create it. The Sandinistas created it.
One of the original Contra political leaders was Edgar Chamorro. He joined the Contras in 1981.
I became involved with the Contras because the CIA, using people from the White House, they invited me to be one of the Contra leaders. I was told that this was just a war for a year, that the United States wanted to put this pressure on Nicaragua. But then after a year or so, I found out that this was not the case. We're being used to deceive the American people. We're used to lie to Congress by going to tell Congress that the purpose was a good purpose to bring democracy, but in private we were being told something different. So I felt that this was a big lie.
After several years with the Contras, Chamorro became disillusioned with CIA influence on the Contra movement and quit. Still a critic of some Sandinista policies, he is yet a harsher critic of the Contras.
The tactics used by the Contras were tactics of terrorizing civilians, making situations where civilians were getting killed.
Nicaragua, under President Reagan, they are in fact giving the Contras written instructions in violence and destabilization. The target is the people. The social and economic infrastructure is what you're hitting at. It's not a bloodbath. It's like you go into a village and you kill a few people to make your point. The purpose is to disseminate terror, traumatize the people. We're not killing Sandinistas in the capital. We're not blowing up their homes and terrorizing them. We're hitting at the people throughout the interior of the country.
In addition to the terrorist tactics used by the Contras, there was corruption. Substantial portions of both congressional funds and privately raised monies were never accounted for.
Traveler's checks raise the question in relative to the Contras. The soldier in the field can't cash a traveler's check.
But we used to purchase Cordovas for them.
Well, there are $3 million in traveler's checks. Naturally raises suspicions.
After a while, they get used to fat pays, you know, heavy income and good salaries and per diems and many other privileges. So it was a way to be big shots again, fat cats, and they were not really interested in the Nicaraguan people.
Well, we know that huge amounts of money are missing. We know that there were bribes of the millions of dollars given to the Honduran officers. We know that at a time when the United States government was paying for complete rations for the troops, that the Contra troops were living on one meal a day.
There have been a lot of allegations thrown around that the Contra resupply operation was involved in cocaine trafficking.
We found absolutely no evidence during my tenure at the NSC that any of the resistance leaders were themselves or their subordinates involved in drug running.
Although there was enough evidence to warrant investigation into CIA drug trafficking, there was no serious interest on the part of committee members, and no first-hand witnesses were called. At one point, the hearings were disrupted by two observers who burst out in protest. For these actions, the protesters were handed down stiff jail sentences of over a year each.
They never got into drugs, even though it kept coming up in their face. They had got declassified a lot of memos from Robert Owen, in which he was telling Oliver North that there were Contra leaders who were involved in the drug traffic. The only questions they allowed him this was to sort of smooth it over or to blame it on somebody else.
A news program over the weekend suggested that Rob Owen, who testified earlier, was involved in drug smuggling. Now, is there any truth to that? Can you shed any light for us on that subject?
Absolutely false. Mr. Owen is the last person, perhaps right beside me, that would ever be engaged in those kinds of activities.
In the early 1980s, when the CIA was working to establish a southern front in Costa Rica in the war against Nicaragua, a relationship was established with John Hull, an American rancher living in Costa Rica. There is mounting evidence that the airstrips on Hull's ranch became not only a delivery point for illegal Contra weapon shipments from the U.S., but were also used for transporting cocaine into the United States.
You have CIA bases in Costa Rica and Honduras. You have airplanes flying back and forth continuously, landing at bases in the United States where they don't have to go through regular customs, with the CIA escorting the people in and out in a certain laissez-faire in the attitude at best of the customs, if there is, you know, any customs representation there. So it's a dream situation for drug smugglers.